Now, Father, we ask and receive revelation and insight into your word this morning. Let all eyes see the fellowship and the mystery of Christ that is unveiled to our hearts and our minds by his Spirit. Thank you for clarity this morning, the simplicity of thought, that every confusion is dispelled. Every area of darkness, light shines in there, and all men behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24, we have been looking at, in Christ, Paul's revelation of identification, and yesterday morning, morning, we Luke's Gospel 24, I'm going to read 25 to 27. He says, and he said unto them, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And begin at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We have been examining the teaching ministry of Jesus. Because if we're going to teach and explain the Pauline revelation, we must say, why was it needed? If Jesus taught this much, okay, why was Paul's revelation needed? What's the essence of, what's the unique thing about the Pauline revelation? So that's why we've been examining the teaching ministry of Jesus. We have been learning something about the teaching ministry of Jesus so far. Let me see your hand. The teaching ministry of Jesus, all right, it's clear to you how to use it. So you're wiser now in how you use the four gospels. Excellent. So we said in this verse, or in this text of scripture, the Bible says he expounded unto them, which is different from parables. He's in daimonio. Daimonio means to interpret. Okay? He goes through the scriptures, and one other thing we said about daimonio is that he went from scripture to scripture. That is, he used scripture to explain itself. Whereas in parables, he used natural, everyday examples to explain spiritual things, which will always be very, it leaves very little. Now, let me say this quickly. Parables have so little information. Even though parables are the longer or the longest, it looks like, my God, see depth because it's story. But it has little information. Oftentimes, a parable just wants to say a sentence. All right? Then it goes all the way, all the way, all the way to just make one sentence. You know, and we saw that. And so you can find much faith message in a parable. Is that clear? So in daimonio, he uses scripture to explain itself. He doesn't use, there was a young man. There was a grandfather. He doesn't use that kind of thing. He just says, Matthew. Isaiah said this, cross-check with Amos. Amos said this, cross-check in the Psalms. So he graduated the way he taught upon his resurrection. All right, good. So now we said John's gospel. How many of you saw quite a number of things in John's gospel yesterday? You saw that in the synoptics. John's gospel captured another type of teaching that Jesus did. And don't forget, did you observe that John's gospel took care of much of the latter teachings of Jesus? Is that clear? That means Jesus took his teachings step by step. He graduated the style over time. More so, we also found out yesterday that his clearest teachings, that's his clearest, his deepest, that's his deepest, is, help me out, I have an argument. is faith, is most loaded. I'm using word men terminologies. Is most worded teachings. What else can I say? Is most something from the teachings. Where with the disciples? Remember that. We spoiled that the audience were largely his disciples. Alright, so we say in John's gospel, why would not see a parable like the other ones? It's not parable-y. He has paroimai, which is a figure of speech as well, but is closer to the subject matter, unlike a parable. This one is closer to the subject matter, unlike parable. Even though within the book of John, we have the use of words like water, wind, tree, remember that? Blood and flesh. I think that's metaphor, right? Is that metaphor? We're back to literature class again like yesterday. Is that metaphor? Huh? You know, you're supposed to say, well, literature in church? Well, the Bible is a literature. Praise God. The Bible didn't drop from anywhere. It dropped from a printing press. It didn't drop. I think it's the Quran they said they found on the mountaintop. No wonder that's the way it is. But the Bible is not dropped. It was written by man who conveyed the thoughts of God or the thoughts of Christ in human language. So it's a literature. So you must understand this figure of speech. For example, if Jesus says, you drink my blood, you eat my flesh. I don't think you meant you could bring out a knife and then got a chunk. How can we all even take his flesh? How big will his body be? By the time some hefty eaters here, I know some of you, I don't need to point you out. I don't need a word of knowledge. I know you already. By the time you grab, if some of you should eat part of his body, you'll have been, what will be left for some of us with the nails? Because you're so heavy. So, that's already a figure of speech. See, you laughed. It's already a figure of speech. You get it? And so, we must will. And then, you know, notice again, you know, the reason why he used that mode of communication was because of the audience. So you must understand the use of metaphors. Metaphors. Just like the Old Testament has symbols, you had people talk about, today people still say it, they still imagine that when you take the bread and the wine, that's the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. You shouldn't talk like that. You're already born again. I know born again people can't be foolish, but then I think you should stop talking like that. You don't eat his bread, his body. That was metaphorical when he says my flesh and my body is metaphorical of eternal life. The minute you have eternal life, that means you have taken his flesh and his blood. Is that clear? That's what it means. So if you have believed the gospel, you don't need anyone to administer loaves of bread to you as the body of Jesus. Don't insult your own spiritual intelligence. Praise God. You got that already. Someone said, well, but then, the two ceremonies that Jesus gave us to keep. One, the baptism of water. What's it for? It is to show the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. To who? To you that have believed? Well, it's to openly demonstrate an inward conviction. To who? To the baptizer? To the water? To the fish? To who? Well, it's my faith. Alright, but you do it just once. Yeah, good. So the other one is to what? Show the Lord's death till he comes. To who? To the Lord. The Lord is right there. These were okay. So, to the angels. Well, that's cool. That's permitted. Show the Lord that. Well, to receive healing. Okay, so without the bread and wine, you can't receive healing. I can't. What about handkerchief? Yeah, handkerchief also you can receive healing by handkerchief. Shadows? Yes. Laying on hands? Yep. So there's no difference in bread and wine, leaning on the hands, handkerchiefs, it's all the same thing that's happened. Praise God. So for some people, they'll say, I know a brother, he had bread. At the end of the bread, his stomach trouble stopped. I also know someone who drank water they prayed on and his stomach trouble stopped. Hallelujah. It doesn't make it a commandment of the Lord. It just means that his faith was in the bread. Hallelujah. You get what I'm talking about? So, we must not take those things literally. They are metaphors, figures of speech. Let's get back to the Old Testament one more time. You know, we said in the Old Testament, Psalm 78 verse 2, He said, I will open my mouth and I will utter, you know, dark speeches. You know, he said, dark speeches. Hidden sayings. Dark speeches is the word chidah. You should know that by now. C-H-I. Uh-huh. Spell it. No. C-H-I what? Double D-A-H. Very good. Which is, in the New Testament language, will be what? Mysterion. Is that clear? Mysterion is mystery. Okay? So, let's put it like this. Let's classify it. The Old Testament had dark speeches. Correct? Mysterion. The four Gospels had what? Parables and metaphors. Is that clear? Come on. Let's take it again. The Old Testament had dark speeches, which is Mysterion. The four Gospels had what? Parables and metaphors. That is parable and paramai. They had metaphors and, you know, parables. But, pay attention. John, we said John had more of the faith message than any other writer of the synoptics. He had more of the faith message because he reduced the stories. John reduced the stories. He didn't have much of the, even though he had the information, but he did not apply it. Now, E.W. Kenyon says something I love a lot. He said, he believes, and I think so too, that the Holy Spirit made sure that he restricted himself to the four Gospels, to the events. I think I agree with that, but let's leave that. So, John, he had a more straightforward description of Jesus. Because John opens his first words was in the beginning was the Word. This is the Logos. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, verse 2, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay? It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shined in darkness couldn't comprehend it. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So, he doesn't talk about Zechariah. He doesn't talk about Gabriel. You remember anything like that? Right? Gabriel. He said, how can they? He doesn't talk about Joseph. Whether they were wise men or foolish men, he doesn't let us know. Herod doesn't come out in the beginning story. He just leaves all that away and tells you straight up, he's the Word that became flesh. So everything that you find in Luke 1, Luke 2, Luke 3, Luke 4, it just says the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Leave all that one. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So all this, and then Jesus went on the water and said, we beheld his glory. Leave all that one. Let's move on. You will have thought, so dry. Let's know how Elizabeth met Mary. And said, again, oh, salutation to the baby. You know, lovely things for drama. But no, he just goes straight for faith. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to be called the sons of God, verse 12, to them that believe on his name. So he goes straight with the faith message. That's why you discover that in the writings of John, which is still what Jesus said anyway, the figure of speech is very, very limited. Very limited. It wasn't exhaustive. John had more straight up explanations of Christ that Jesus taught than any other synoptic writer. We pointed that out. So go to John 16, verse 12. We're there yesterday. Now, he says in verse 12, pay good attention, John 16 and verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. We've examined that statement already. I have yet many things, a tie in the Greek, to say unto you, okay? And polus a tie. A tie means in comparison, that is, Jesus is comparing what he was teaching before now. And he says, look guys, I have more things to say than what I just said. Now, of course, we said yesterday that what he was talking about was what? His resurrection. Remember that very well. Okay. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So, Jesus is saying that there were so many things he didn't teach. Not that he did not know, but he didn't teach because they couldn't bear it. Now is the word. He says, because you cannot bear it, that will mean that, well, they can't bear it. But you cannot bear them now. So in other words, he's is telling us of a time when they will be able to bear it. Are you still there? Are you still there? So he says you cannot bear them. Look at the word bear. The word bear is the word bastazo. B-A-S-T-A-Z-O. It's a verb. It's a verb. I have yet many things to say unto you. Now, what's a verb? A verb is an action word. Right? Am I right? I guess I passed English. All right. A verb is an action word. So, bastazo is an action word. So, you cannot bear them now. Can we say you cannot act on it now? Well, that. Come on. That's quite cool, right? You cannot act on it now. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot act on it now. The word bastazo, you find John. Jesus used it again in John 10:31. Let's check it out. John 10:31. Bastazo. It means you can't bear them. See how it's used? Makes sense. John 10:31. You cannot bear them now. Then the Jews bastazo stones again to stone him. Quite cool. See that? The Jews bastazo stones again to stone him. They took up stones. Okay? John 12:6. John 12:6. Not too cool. This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he took the bag and bore what was put in therein. He had the bag, sorry, and took what was put therein. He took it. He took it. He carried it. Oh, I stole it. Stole it, but. John 19:17. And he, bearing his cross, was saying, taking up his cross, went forth into a place. In John 20:17. Touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. Touch me not. Take me up. So to bastazo means to take up. I have yet many things to say to you. You cannot take it up. You can't pick it. You can't bear it. You can't hold it. So, hold on now. What you cannot hold means you cannot keep it. So, Jesus is not saying he couldn't teach it. He's rather saying they cannot take it. Okay? They cannot act upon it. So, he becomes, and that shows you also that you don't just give out information that cannot be handled. He said you cannot handle them now. You can't handle them. Right now. So, it's about them and not the truth. It's about them and not the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it says, albeit when what? He, the Spirit of truth, he's come, what will he do? He will, Do you know he didn't say you will take it up? No. He will guide you into all truth. Okay, pay good attention here. What did we call the Spirit of Truth yesterday? Allos Parakletos. Another, like Jesus, remember, or another comforter, pardon me. And we said the word allos is for what? It's for, hey, come on. It's for what? Location. So, he's saying to you, when I change location, okay, remember that yesterday, then I will guide you into all truth. Still there? The word guide we said yesterday is the word hodegeo, H-O-D-E-G-E-O. It means to take from one place to another. Remember yesterday? Okay, so it'll take them from the senses to revelation, right? From figures of speech to clarity. He's going to take them from the senses to revelation. So, in other words, what he's saying in John 16, 13, apart from the information part, has the identification part. That is, you will have the capacity. You will have the capacity to comprehend truths about the resurrection. So he will lead us from where? From the flesh to the spirit. That's what he's saying. He will lead you from the flesh to the spirit. Just like Romans 8, 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Led from where? You want to go? Led from the flesh to the spirit. From the law to faith. Not led from Lagos to Abuja. No, that's talking about two distances. The distance will be the flesh and then the spirit. In this instance, it will be, pay attention now, it will be from the senses to the spirit. He will guide you into all truth. Why? Because what he did not tell them was spiritual information. Things of the spirit. That's what he didn't tell them. We said yesterday that when he told Nicodemus, right? John 3:12, he said, I've told you earthly things and you can't bear them. How do I tell you heavenly things? And I'm wondering, we are still grabbing the earthly things. Now people are still confused about the earthly things. Because the Bible says, born of water and the Spirit, that what water is baptism of water. My God, you are lower than the earthly things. Even Nicodemus never thought that was what he was saying. Yeah. Praise God. So, the Spirit of Truth, now let's get back one more time. I said, the Spirit of Truth, so let's track the word Spirit of Truth back. John 14:17. The Spirit of Truth. Now, if you were Jesus' audience in John 16:13, and that discussion started from John 13 to the end, and then you were there when it was taking John 14. And it says, the Spirit of Truth, when he, the Spirit of Truth, he's come. We're going to explain that a bit. I will expect that you will take your understanding from the things I'd earlier said. Alright? Come on. Are you there? So, where is the Spirit of Truth? John 14. Where? John 14:16. Come on, let's read it now. Let's go. Our Father, and he will, that he may abide with you forever, Womb the world, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? So, the Spirit of Truth will be where? In. Just in. In. So, in you. Indwelling. So the Spirit of Truth gives us the capacity to receive spiritual information. See, I have the capacity. Say it like a minute. I have the capacity to receive spiritual information. Say, I am not schooled in parable. So I'm born of the Spirit. I don't need stories to comprehend the Word. I am born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You don't need stories to say, well, that teaching was deep. Say, well, the man knows how to explain the Bible. He told us one story about his wife, his cousin. The way he explained it, he just brought out the grace of God. You went 2,000 years backwards. 2,000 years backwards. That's too good for your spiritual CV. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I said, well, are you trying to say that the teachings of Jesus are not superior to the teachings of Paul? I don't believe that the Christian should be talking like that. We should know better than this, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Paul. He's the Lord of all the apostles. How can you be saying the teachings of Jesus Christ is not deep? That is nonsense. Someone said something, I like it. He said, saying something loud doesn't make it true. John 16. The fact that you have money to put it on the internet and put it on TV doesn't make it true. You get it? The fact that you can sponsor a post on Facebook doesn't make it true. The fact that you can finance people spreading materials all over the world doesn't make it true. The truth is in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? Come on, John 16. Okay, when he, the Spirit of truth, he's come, we want to do some careful technical study. You ready? You may be careful. Some technical study. Hallelujah. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all of the truth. For he shall not speak of himself. The word he becomes curious. Because he uses the word laleo to speak of himself. Because the word himself is silent, to speak. To speak of himself. Pay good attention here. Please do, please. The word he uses here, rather than use the word he, is the word ekeimos. The word, the normal word he wasn't used. E-K-E-I-M-O-S. It's called a demonstrative pronoun. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean he's talking about somebody else. It's just a demonstrative pronoun. That is, you can put it like this, when that Spirit of truth, or better still, when the Spirit of truth. So when he said he will speak, it's lale. Pay attention. Laleo, L-A-L-E-O. I go back to what I said earlier. A demonstrative pronoun. That is, it flows from what he was saying before. It's not asking you to look out for a person or a personality. It's asking you to go back to what he said earlier. And remember, we said the word another comforter relates with who? Jesus himself. Remember that? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. Remember that. I will come to you. Said in that day you will know that who is in you. You know, it doesn't say in that day you will know that the Holy Spirit is in you. He doesn't say that. In that day, you will know that I am where? In you. We said that yesterday. If you were not around yesterday, too bad. I in you. Remember that yesterday? Good. So, that means what he's saying now is a demonstrative pronoun. That Spirit of truth. That is, that comforter that I spoke of earlier. That comforter. He will not speak of himself. We'll look at that more later. He will not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall say. Look at this. He is not talking about speaking. Like, I'm talking to you. He's not saying that when the Spirit of truth is come, you will be hearing voices. Now, when I was a younger preacher, I'm still young, I used to teach this verse explaining the revelation gift. And the utterance gift. And it is so well that after I'm done with it, everybody will be filled with the Spirit. God honored my ignorance. My sincere ignorance. But then that's not what he was saying. One thing about us charismatic Pentecostals, I'm both Baptist, I'm also, I'm Catholic, I'm charismatic, I'm Pentecostal, I'm celestial. I am Methodist, I'm Anglican because I speak English. I'm a Lazarus because I pray. So, really, I'm just everywhere. But the thing is that, but this part of me was charismatic Pentecostal. We have this skill called reading the Bible out of context. It's a skill. I think it's an anointing, that's the point. We have a way, we just look for something, it was written that the writer would say, tell me something. So there's some things we would explain that Jesus would say, I love that. come on, word. Jesus would say, word. I never meant that. Maybe you knew what I meant that I did not know. Because when he said he will show you things to come, without having a shadow of doubt, he was talking about his resurrection. He was so glad. Is that not true? Come on. Isn't that true? Things to come. So, the word he will show you there explains the speaking. It's the word anagelo. A-N-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. A-N-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. It means to make full disclosure. To make a full disclosure. Jesus is not talking utterance, he's talking revelation. He will make full disclosure. Let's look at the use of that word, anagelo. John 4:25. Book of John. John 4:25. You understand? John 4:25. Okay, look at this. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. He will tell us all things. He will make a full disclosure. John 5:15. John 5:15. That's John 5:15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. You know, before then he didn't know who was. But now he now told them, he made a full disclosure. The man I said earlier, I don't know who healed me. But now he's saying it's Jesus. He makes a full disclosure. John 5:15. John 16:13, we read that earlier. John 16:13, 14 and 15. Don't forget, we're coming back there. 13, 14 and 15. Uses the word show unto you. So we come to Acts 14:27. Put your hands in John 16, then go to Acts 14:27. Acts 14:27. Acts 15:27. And when they were come, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. They rehearsed all. It's the word anagelo. Acts 15:4, same thing. They declared all things that God has done with them. Acts 15:4. Acts 19:18. Acts 19:18. And confessed and showed their deeds. They told him everything. That's what it means. Acts 20:20. Acts 20:20. I've showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Acts 20:20. Acts 20:27. I've not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. To declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now go to Romans 15:21. Romans 15:21. Romans 15:21. Romans 15:21. All right, good. And it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. So he's saying, spoken of, that is revealed together, that is to reveal altogether. 2 Corinthians 7:7. 2 Corinthians 7:7. 2 Corinthians 7:7. He told us your earnest desire. All right, so now very vitally, 1 Peter 1:12. 1 Peter 1:12. 1 Peter 1:12. That's very vital. Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us did it minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven with things the angel desired to look into. Very close. So it means to give a full disclosure. Go to John 16. To give a full disclosure. John 16. So albeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he'll guide you to all of the truth. He will take you from the senses to revelation. Okay? From incomplete information to complete information. For he will speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will give a full disclosure to you of things to come. He will give a full disclosure to you of things to come. Watch this. 14. He shall not glorify me. He shall glorify, I'm sorry, for he shall receive of mine and will give a full disclosure to you. So you can see he's not talking about revelation gifts. Are you there? All right. Shall receive of mine. Then verse 15. All things that the Father has at mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and give a full disclosure to you. So that's revelation, no doubt. Right? What kind of revelation? Complete revelation. Correct? Correct? So mark this in your notes or in your Bible. Just put epignosis. Does it make sense now? Huh? Does it make sense? I don't know what epignosis is. Let me see. Epignosis, you know what it means. So just put epignosis. And epignosis is a word that you cannot find in the four Gospels. Because you can't find it. It can't be there. So, epignosis. We shall examine this very well. Do not forget again that when he said he will show you things to come, he's referring to what? The resurrection. He is not going to show you about Christ dying. Anybody around will see that. Right? Come on. Are you following that? His resurrection. We shall examine this very well later. Do not forget, where is the dwelling of the Spirit? In. So, the dwelling of the Spirit is in. That's very vital. That the Spirit shall dwell within. Never forget. And this is very key in the ministry of the Spirit. So, let's revert back a little bit. We said, Jesus, when he said, I will give you another comforter, who was going to come back to us? Jesus. He will come back as what? The Spirit. Come on, is that clear enough? Okay. Jesus used the word allos, parakletos, and the word parakletos was used by John in John 14, verse 16. John 14, 26, John 15, 26, and John 16, verse 7 and 8. We said that yesterday. And the only other time he uses the word paraclete is in 1 John 2, 1 and 2. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father. We said yesterday, the advocate with the Father is not up. No, the advocate with the Father is in. Because he said to you, me and the Father will come and make our home where? In you. Does it make sense now? Huh? Does it make sense? Come on, does it make sense? In you. So, he's not teaching a distance, he's explaining a union. A paraclete. Paraclete is someone, he's not saying, he'll be arguing for you, or he'll be bleeding for you. No. We said paraclete is someone who is what? Close to you. Alright? Close to you. In other words, what 1 John 2 and 1 is teaching is an unbroken fellowship. Hallelujah. Come on now. Not making sense. Huh? An unbroken fellowship, an unbroken union. That is, if you sin, you have an unbroken union because the paraclete with the Father is Jesus Christ. Who is a propitiation for our sins. Not only us, but also for the whole world. It's vital. So he's not saying, Jesus, he's pleading on your behalf. Like, that's quite not right, because that's not a New Testament truth. That Jesus, and I know some folks have a lot of visions like that. And they say Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and then Satan is at the left. And so as Jesus is pleading this, Satan is saying, no way. You know, it's your imagination running wild. And you know, imaginations can become visions, revelations, then doctrine. You get it? Have you found out that the more of God's word you know, your dreams change? Your visions change. You get it? Have you seen sometimes some dreams that scare you? When you have them now, you just laugh when you wake up. Because you know your mind's playing some game on you. Praise God. You need to realize that there's no Jesus talking to the Father and saying, calm down. Calm down. I'm pleading one more chance. There's no Jesus like that. We are with the Father. Hallelujah. Our fellowship is with the Father. Glory to God. That means the Father has given himself to us. Are you still there? Praise the Lord. Alright, good. So, Jesus, that another comforter, will be in you. So, it lets you know that Christ explains himself. Christ explains Christ. Is that clear? Christ explains Christ. So, can we safely say John 16, 13 to 15 are the epistles? Can we say that? Go back there now. John 16, 13, 14 and 15, can we say those are the epistles? I'm asking a question. Huh? Those are the epistles. Okay. So the Spirit is within. So can we also say that the primary ministry of the Spirit is knowledge? Huh? Let me quickly show you something. Did you see something? Let's run through a short study. Just a short study. Take your Bible. Let's just run through something quickly. John 3. We're going to read John 3, John 4. So get ready. John 3, John 4. Some of John 6. Then we'll read John 7. Then we'll read John 10. Then we'll read John 14. Then we'll go to John 17. I want you to see something quickly. Let's go. So you go to John 4, you're going to read it yourself. John 4, 14. 10 and 14. I'll give you 1 minute to reach each verse, to read each verse. John 4, verse 10, and John 4, 14. You saw what, did you see 14 says everlasting? Huh? John 4, 14. Does 14 say everlasting? Everlasting what? Huh? No, thank you. He said, a water that be where? In. Huh? Right? Where? Okay, so backtrack to John 3. In John 3, 3 and 5, the water is who? Or what? The water is what? The Spirit. Okay, so move further. John, did I say John 5? Did I mention John 5? I said John 6. Okay, John 6, 47. John 6, 47. Seen it? What's it saying? Has what? Okay, so look at John 6, 51. Then 53. Then 56. 51. 53. 56. Then John 6, 63. Seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? What did you see? You eat my flesh, my blood. You have what? Life in you. Then it says life forever, right? Then John 6, he said, it is the Spirit that what? Huh? What's the word quicken? Give life. Alright? It is the Spirit that gives life. So, what have you observed? You observed that In John 3, he calls the water the Spirit, right? Then in John 4, the water is called life everlasting. That's the Spirit, right? Come on. So in John 6, he says what? The life, eternal life, right? Then he says, it's the Spirit that gives. Come on. So John 7, 37. If any man doesn't come to me and drink, he that believes in me, as the scripture has said, how does breath flow because of living water? Again, living water, again. Then verse 39. But this spake he of what? Okay, what did he call the water earlier on? He called the water everlasting life. Are you there? Okay, we read John 7. So let's go to John 10. I am come that you might have what? Verse 10. And have what? Okay, John 10. So John 14. Are you following through? John 14, 16. I'll pray the Father and he will give you another comfort that he may abide with you for how long? For how long? Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Neither know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Okay? So he says, because I leave, you leave also. And in that day you shall know, verse 20, that I am in my Father and my Father also is in you. Okay? We read that. We read John 15 and 16 yesterday. Now, look at John 17. So, why is the Spirit given to us? To know. Right? Come on. To what? To know. We will recognize the Father in Christ. And Christ in the Father. Am I right? Is that flowing? Okay, so look at John 17. What did Jesus give us in his resurrection? What did he give us? Another, which is the indwelling of the Spirit. Am I right? What did he rise from the dead to give us? Come on. The Spirit of truth. Right? To abide in us for how long? That we may know all of the truth. Okay. So John 17. You must get this one. Let's take verse 2 together. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. John, are you there? Let's go. That he shall give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is what? Life eternal, that they may know thee. So what is eternal life? Praise God. Is eternal life different from the indwelling of the Spirit? No, it's one and the same. Come on, is that clear to you? Is that clear to you? Because the Spirit is life. A life eternal. Come on, let me see your hand here. Come on. Is it clear to you? Did you follow through? Okay, let me give you one more way to go through it again. Go through it again. That's just a fast class. You know, you just, some of you have to go quickly get run through it. I said, John 3, John 4, John 3, John 4, John 6, John 7, John 3, John 4, John 6, John 7, John 10, John 14, John 15, John 16, John 17. Quickly. Follow me. Quickly. Run through it and see. Did he exchange spirit and life together? Was he exchanging the words? Alright. But what's the connecting verb? What's the connecting adjective? Forever. And then know. To know and then the forever. It's a connecting adjective. It explains to you what he was saying. So run through it quickly. So that's clear to all of us as we move forward. If you've seen it, just raise one hand so I know we're all together. If you've seen what we just said now, that eternal life is the indwelling of the Spirit. Do those scriptures explain it? Come on. So the life of God in us is the Spirit of God in us. Is that right? Are we all on the same page? Excellent. So we are all on the same page. So can we move to the next page? Okay, good. So, because a key fact of the ministry of the Spirit in John is knowledge. You will know. Is that clear? We're going to see that word know later on because It's a word that has to do with not just knowledge, but functional knowledge. You will walk in a knowledge. We'll see that. So, the ministry of the Spirit is primarily knowledge. Now, I want to say something, and I guess it will bless you. Whenever miracles are mentioned, miracles, please follow this one, is always in relationship with the name. Let's see a few words. Look at John 14. I'll start from verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this, because I go unto my Father. Now, let's check another synoptic. Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 1. He called the 12, his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them power. Look at Luke 9. Verse 49. Let's take it together. And John answered and said to the master, are you there? We saw one casting out devils in your name, and we forbade him because he follows not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So he identifies casting out devils by his name. Quickly look at Luke 10. When the disciples came back, Luke 10, verse 17. Let's take it together. Verse 17, let's go. And the 17 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Then Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, hold on. What did he give them? The Spirit or his name? So what was his authority? His name. Are we flowing together? Are we together? Okay. Now, in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name. Pay attention here. In my name. Now, of course, the name refers to authority, a position of authority. Okay? Pay attention, please. So, all the authority is in the name. What is the work of the Spirit to unveil to us that authority? That belongs to us. The Spirit unveils the authority in the name. All the power is in the name. And the Spirit unveils that authority to us. So, listen carefully. Our position in Christ is already invested with that authority. You do not need anything but to know to walk in that authority. Our position in Christ, who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ, already has the authority. We don't grow in authority. We grow in knowledge, but we don't grow in authority. The authority that was invested in you at salvation is the authority that you will walk in for the rest of your life. And we'll handle that later. So, can we safely say that to know is a primary work of the Spirit upon the new birth? Can we say that? Can we say that? Come on, can we say that? Can we say to know is the primary work of the Spirit Do you know this? This is. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to allow you to think about it, because I'm not going to explain it. Do you know that those who did not know, not only that, those who did not believe, or those who were not born again, do you know that they had a power of atoning through the name of Jesus? Do you know that those who didn't believe the gospel in the four gospels, they cast out devils? You know, Judas wasn't a believer. And Jesus also told us, some would come and say, we cast out devils in your name. And they weren't born again. But you see, those who are born again, no. Write that somewhere. It's vital. What I just said now is so important in the way you should think. So the primary evidence of the Spirit will be what? No. We're going to check the epistles so shortly, we'll see. To know is very key in the ministry of the Spirit. So let's quickly rush through this. So the apostles, the 12, 11, 12, depending on what you're talking about, the 12 apostles were a secondary witness. We said yesterday that you don't need them to know about Christ. Remember that yesterday. You don't need them. You don't need to receive anything from them. That is what they said they saw in the four gospels. No. If you remove the four gospels from the Bible, what will be missing will be history, not knowledge. Can I go over that again? If you remove the four gospels from the Bible, what will be missing will not be knowledge. It will be facts of history. The four gospels were not in circulation when most of the epistles were written. And you will not, except on a very few, almost infinitesimal times, you won't find a single reference to the teaching of Jesus. Are you there? Why? Because Jesus cannot be known from his teachings in the four gospels. He will only be known by revelation. And his teachings were not by revelation. His teachings were parable. You see, I'm following this. Come on. Are you following that? So, if you remove the four gospels, and now do not say what I didn't say. I didn't say the four gospels have no spiritual value. I didn't say that. But I'm telling you the priority. If you take out the four gospels, what will be missing will be historical facts that are very relevant, but it's not precise information about Christ. Because Jesus himself said, I have yet many things to say to you. You can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, he's come, he will guide into all of truth. Pay attention to something I'm going to say shortly. I've said it before, I've told it over and over again. The epistles had more information about the resurrection of Jesus than his death. You did not need to have the Holy Ghost to know he died. People saw it. It was an historical fact. But his resurrection is revelation. Are you still out there? So, there was more, when you talk about the gospel is not his death. The gospel is his resurrection. And so, the epistles focused on the life of Jesus more than on his death. And so when it comes to the life of Jesus, you do not need, there's little information about his resurrection in the four gospels. What happened when he rose from the dead? You probably wouldn't even know anything. What happened when he died? Where did he go? You know it. What happened when he rose from the dead? Where is he right now? Almost little, very little information. That is found where? In the epistles. Let me see if I can follow this. Come on. Good. So, God, let's get the apostles had secondary witness. First Peter 1. Sorry, 2 Peter 1. You learn something? Second Peter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were high witnesses of his majesty. High witnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Where did this happen? Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration. Look at this. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. Now, who are the we? You can't quote it. You can't use that as a confession. If you take that as a confession, you are lying. And you say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I have not followed calling the device people, hallelujah. When I made known unto you the coming of the Lord, I was an eyewitness of his. Your line is increasing. For I received from God the Father honor and glory when they came. This man. Well, how are you, man? This is what just came from heaven. I heard. Where were we? He's the holy man. Hallelujah. Chief. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. The word sure is the word reliable. Peter is saying, rely more on the prophecy of the scriptures than the eyewitness. You get that? Are you still there? So that means the eyewitness was an advantage. Was an added advantage, pardon me. But that wasn't the revelation. That wasn't it. In fact, some of them saw him and they said, it's the spirit. He said, touch me. And they actually did. How else do you want to demonstrate unbelief? Thomas said, if I don't see, if I want to touch his side, I must see. And then he came and he said, Thomas, don't believe. Touch my side. Thomas said, Lord, you said I should touch him. He said, my Lord, my God. See that? That's no revelation. And Jesus said, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed, hallelujah, are those who will not see with their eyes, but believe in their heart. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So their witness was secondary. All right. Very secondary. That's why Paul was the master, or had the mastery of the use of these two words. Revelation and knowledge. Revelation and knowledge. So, I guess finally we can start talking about Paul. You know. So have we opened up for Paul? Have we created room for Paul now? Hallelujah. So, Paul's use of knowledge. So, before we go to Paul's writings, let's see what was said about him. This was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He was lettered in the law. He knew the law. He was zealous. In Acts 8, he was the eyewitness of Stephen's death. That was his own eyewitness account. He waited and consented to the death of Stephen. In Acts 9, he's moving from place to place. Say, why are those people speaking in tongues? Put them there. He's going from place to place. Then he has his revelation. A vision. In Acts 9. Let's go to Acts 9. Glory to God. Paul's first encounter with Christ is so significant that I just can't get it off my mind. That he's going to persecute the church. And then, watch this. He fell on the earth and heard a voice, verse 4, saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? His first encounter was revelation. Why do you persecute me? In other words, what he was going to eventually teach was the gospel to him, was the encounter that he had. That is, in his first encounter with Jesus in that vision, there was no separation between Christ and the church. The very thing Jesus told the disciples, he repeated to Paul. Why do you persecute me? The next statement, he says, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. John 14, verse 19 and 20, just comes alive in that first encounter. He didn't say, leave my servants alone. Hallelujah. Leave my folks alone. He said, I am who they are. They are who I am. Hallelujah. Are you still there? That first encounter. So from, are you following this? From that first encounter, he definitely must search more. You mean Jesus and this ugly looking fellow? Oh, sorry, not talking about that. Ugly looking fellow. These folks, unleaded, they are the same. Hallelujah. His very first encounter. I am Jesus, whom you persecute. The first statement, if you thought it was just a slip of tongue, he reinforced it by the second one. Then, Paul goes. Ananias, he saw Jesus and he said, Jesus, verse 15, Lord, it's been a while you rose from the dead, and I guess you took a leave. Retired. We've given you some stress as a church, so I guess you were on sabbatical. But Lord, I have heard by many of these men how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. You know, he's telling Jesus what Jesus doesn't know, I guess. And here he had authorized from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. And the Lord said unto him, you know, something like, shut up. Go your way. You know, we say, I don't know, you're about to go in a lot. You know, just say, go your way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, oh my God, to bear my name before the generals and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And I got to his house and he said, brother Saul. That was a quick to repent believer. He would have said, well, you know, he would have been mocking. Chosen vessel Saul. You know, so, no, just glorifying my Lord, just calling you what he said you are. He didn't do that. He said, brother Saul. Praise God. In other words, we come from the same source. Are you still there? We come from the same source. Look at Acts 26. Nobody will describe this better than Paul. Acts 26. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 15. I am Jesus whom you persecute, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose to make thee a minister and a witness. Wow. A witness. After how many years? A witness of both of these things which you have seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, verse 18, let's take 18 together, to open their eyes and to turn from darkness to light, and the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive. Paul's teaching was about receiving. Go on. Receive what? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is where? In me. Which is in me. What did Paul mean? Does it mean that Paul was going to be sharing visions,
Say, I saw Jesus.
I've seen Jesus. I have seen Jesus. He's so handsome. My husband is there. Than any man I know. I've seen Jesus. He's so handsome. Than any man. You know that song? Than any man I know. And he showed first. Look at this. Throughout all the course of Judea. And then to the Gentiles. That they should repent and turn to God. To do works meet for repentance. Look at this. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than Peter told me. Huh? Than James told me. Than the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ shall suffer. And he shall be the first that shall rise from the dead. And shall show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Where did Paul get his knowledge? From the scriptures. Still out there. Are you still out there? A vision cannot be revelation knowledge. A vision can be epignosis. Look at Galatians. Said Moses and the prophet. Look at Galatians 1:12. You learning something? Galatians 1:12. Galatians 1:12. Glory to God. I'll start from 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Hallelujah. The gospel which was preached of me is not after man. The word I certify is the word gnorizo. G-N-O-R-I-Z-O. It means to give you to know. That I want to tell you something. What I am preaching is not after man. It's not after man. The word, watch this now, this is viral. It's not according to man, is the word kata. Is not the way of man. In other words, he's saying to you that he did not get his knowledge of Jesus from men. He didn't get his insight from the four gospels. Not after man. He said, I didn't get it after man, which is preached of me. I didn't get it from my witness. In fact, historically, Paul never passed through Jerusalem throughout the time Jesus was there. He didn't listen to a single teaching. He didn't have MP3. He didn't have anything. And good enough, Jesus wrote no book. He left no teaching materials. He had not known lying. All that Paul had before that encounter was Moses and the prophets. And that was where all his revelation came from. Let me see if they're following this. Come on, are you there? So he's saying to you, just like Jesus had told us, he'll guide you to all of the truth. Glory to God. He says, I received it, pay attention now, neither I received it of man. The word I received it is the word to take from paralambano, P-A-R-A-I-L-A-M-B-A-N-O, to take from. That is, again, I did not get it from the writings of any man. I didn't get it from any man. I didn't get the eyewitness. I didn't get it from anybody's writings. Then finally, he says, neither was I taught it, didasco. I wasn't schooled by any man. Now this is very vital because by the next chapter, he's taking out Peter. You get it? He's taking out Peter. It's a defense of his gospel. He's taken out Peter, he took out John, he took out James. And those were the key men. The A, B, O, C executive. Association of the Body of Christ Apostles. He's mentioning all the three top shots who are on TBN, on Daystar, on KLN. It's taking out those guys. Those who have the largest followership on Facebook. He said, no. I don't know. I didn't get this out of them. Not, I wasn't taught by them. And historically, he wasn't taught by them. I wasn't taught by them. I didn't receive anything from their letters, from their writings. No, I didn't. He said, but by revelation. Hallelujah. All right, that's the second word by Paul. Apocalypse. Revelation. Apocalypse. Pay good attention now. Apocalypse. Apocalypse means to uncover. Is the exact opposite of mystery. So what was the mystery? Were the parables a mystery? No. What was the mystery? The Old Testament. So apocalypse will be the revelation of Jesus in the Old Testament. I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Apocalypse. That is not a vision. Apocalypse. Let's run through that word quickly so it makes sense. Luke 2:32. Apocalypse. Luke 2:32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Revelation. Knowledge to lighten the Gentiles. Apocalypse. Romans 2:5. Romans 2:5. Someone asked me one day, he said, why do you give so many scriptures? Number one, realize that I was trained a lawyer. I must give you sufficient evidence. Is that okay? And number two, that was how Jesus taught. Is that not true? You get enough evidence. You build a case from all the evidence available. Romans 2. Romans 2. The revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Romans 2:5. Romans 8:19. Paul almost exclusively dominated this word. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature awaits for the revelation of the sons of God. Every time you mention revelation, it is the next subject or the object is the subject of the revelation, not the revealer. You know, if I say the revelation of Jesus Christ, I'm not saying Jesus revealed to me. I'm saying Jesus was revealed to me. Is that very clear? Alright. So, is that clear? Do you understand that? If I say revelation of Jesus, I could mean Jesus revealing something to me. So people always assume that Jesus was teaching Paul one-on-one. No. Or, Jesus was revealed to me. Does it make sense to you? Alright. Follow this. Then. Romans 16:25. So Romans 8:19 means the manifestation of the sons of God. We're talking about the physical body. We'll see that later. Romans 16:25. This is very vital. Romans 16:25. I want us to read that together. 25 and 26. Let's go. Now, to him that is of power to establish you, according to what? Hold on. Do you now see why Paul calls it my gospel? Can you see it? Go on further. And the preaching of who? Jesus Christ. According to the revelation of the mystery. Can you see it now? Apocalypse and Mysterion. Go on. Which was kept secret since the world began. That's the Old Testament, right? Come on, look at 26 again. Let's go. Now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Hallelujah. So, can you say, Paul's revelation was not a vision? Is that very clear now? Paul's revelation was from where? The scriptures. Come on. 1 Corinthians 1 and 7. That you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming, that's the word revelation now, of the Lord Jesus. Alright? 1 Corinthians 14:6. That's the rapture. 1 Corinthians 14:6. If I speak to you by revelation, okay, that's gifts of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 12:1. Now we come to revelations, visions and revelations of the Lord. Visions. Then Galatians 1:12. Then Galatians 2:2. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but apparently to them there were repetition, lest by any means I should run in vain. This is talking about Acts 11 and 12, when he left Antioch to go to Jerusalem and take relief to the poor saints in Jerusalem. He went by revelation, that is, Agabus gave a word of wisdom. Remember that? If I remember that, that's what he's describing there. Right? Let's go further. Galatians 2:2. Then Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. 17, sorry. The God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, may the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Watch this one. Now, he doesn't give you the spirit. Wrong translation. It gives you wisdom of the Spirit, which is the revelation in the knowledge of him. It doesn't give you a spirit. You're already sealed with the Spirit. Ephesians 1, 12, 13, and 14. What is given is the wisdom of, or better said, if I'm going to translate that today, I will say spiritual wisdom. Because it doesn't give you the Spirit. The what will give you the Spirit is totally at variance with the entire epistle. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Okay, let's go further. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation it made known unto me, the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge where in the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? The Old Testament. Good. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's the rapture again. 1 Peter 1:7. Now Peter delves into that. 1 Peter 1:7. The trial of your faith being much more precious than silver, than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus. Okay? At the appearing of Jesus. In verse 13. At the revelation of Jesus. Again, the rapture. 1 Peter 4:13. That should be my last. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, and when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So, Peter uses revelation for what? Exclusively for what? The rapture. Paul, both the rapture and knowledge. Does it make sense to you? But the word revelation is to reveal the person, not the person revealing something. Is that clear? So when it says I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ, that means Jesus Christ was revealed to me by what? In the scriptures. So Paul's raw material for his epistles will be found where? The Old Testament. Not from the apostles. He wasn't taught after man. He didn't try. And that's why the book of Hebrews was not written by Paul. Now, don't go and start a church on that one. I just said that. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first was spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" That takes it away from Paul. Because Paul said, "I taught it not after who? Man. What I teach is not after man. No one gave me what I'm saying. My gospel is from the revelation of Jesus." I'll begin to close now. 1 Corinthians 15. You learn something? 1 Corinthians 15. Where was Paul's gospel gotten from? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Let's take verse 3 together. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Hold on. Remember we read Galatians 1, 11 and 12, where it said he received it. So where did he receive it from? Was it a 24-hour vision of Jesus? So Paul, bring out your pen and write. Tell them it's what I did. Paul, write chapter 1, chapter 2. No, he told you how he received it. I received it. How? Come on. That Christ died for our sins. Where? Are you following this? So where did he receive it from? From the Scripture. The Old Testament. I thought he would have said, how Christ died for our sins. I was told by Thomas. If he had said, how Christ died, I was told by Thomas. Doesn't make it the gospel. For our sins must be revelation. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? For our sins has to be revelation. History has it that Jesus Christ died, but not for sins. Eyewitness account has it that Jesus Christ died, but not for sins. But the Old Testament had prophesied ahead of time, he'll die for our sins. That was uncovered to Paul. Even though the name Jesus Christ does not appear anywhere in the Old Testament, you only know it by what? Revelation. See how they're following this. According to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and rose again. I thought he would even mention man. No, he said, according to the Scriptures. So that means Paul's use of knowledge and revelation will be precise knowledge of the Old Testament and revelation from where? The Old Testament. Do not forget, what did Jesus tell us when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come? He will guide you into all of the truth. In other words, he will guide you into the Old Testament. Because the Scriptures testify of it. We saw that yesterday. He will guide you. So the Pauline revelation was not a personal cohesive. His phrases were not his nuances. He didn't just create the things he said. He didn't just say those things. No. Those words were words of revelation of the Old Testament. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. We close there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why those who battle Paul battle Christianity. Those who try to take out Paul from the equation, they're taking out Christianity. The Christian faith. Some try to do it historically. They miss the point. It's more than history. It's called revelation. Hallelujah. Are you still there? 1 Corinthians 2:9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Can we take verse 10 together? Everybody, let's go. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit said all things, yea." Is this what Jesus said earlier?
What is what Jesus said earlier? Let's take verse 11 together. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. Let's take 12. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Is that not what Jesus said? That they might know the things freely given to us. Say, I know. Say, I know. Say, I know. Hallelujah. I don't function with parables. I don't function with figures of speech. I know. Say, I know. I've got the Spirit of God. And I know. Hallelujah. Come on, look at verse 4. Let's take verse 13 together. With things also we speak. Not in the words with man's wisdom. Oh, come on. Man's wisdom is parable. Hallelujah. That's man's wisdom. You cross from the spiritual to the natural. Man's wisdom is parables. Jesus used man's wisdom to teach. But Paul says we don't teach in parables. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Let's follow. Come on, let's go. But with the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing what? Hallelujah. We have left that stage. We have left the stage of knowing the Father through the prodigal son story. Say, brethren, do you know that your life is that? The pigs are your friends. Leave that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing what? No long thing. That's what he's saying. No stories. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You are. Hallelujah. Now are we. Hallelujah. Very direct words. Say, the kingdom of God is likened unto. No, we're not likened. We are. Hallelujah. We know. Glory to God. See Paul. He says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. This was the barrier of Jesus. For their foolishness unto me. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges of things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You can't use a parable to describe us. That's what he's saying. He's judged of no man. You can't compare the born again man with a sailor or the parable of the virgins. Are you confused? Say the 5-10 virgins. Five are like workers in the church. You are confused. He himself is judged of no man. Hallelujah. He can only be compared with spiritual things. Are you still there? You learning something? He himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may explain him? We have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. The epistles are the mind of Christ. They are the explanations of God. They explain God to us more precisely. So when you are getting confused in the parables, you unlock them with the epistles. The epistles carry for us the mind of Christ. Most importantly, the Pauline epistles. So the Old Testament is a mystery. The four gospels, the parables, and the figures of speech and eyewitness. The book of Acts demonstrates, but the epistles have the knowledge and the revelation. Did you learn something? Talk in other tongues and bless the Lord. Give him praise. Thank you.